Okay, so when you think, like, what summers were like the best ones that you've had?
Episode 18.
Episode 18.
Episode 101.
101. We back.
Should we do that every time now?
Officially.
The real number versus the season number?
Do we just change it to, like,
no seasons and just like, actual
no season, just did you say astronomical?
No, the actual season.
I was like, that is astronomical.
Hey, it's out of this world. Episodes. Bro, we back though.
Man, we're back.
Came up off a dope ass 100th episode. We'll get into that.
We'll get into that, man. Of course. But like, what's going on? Like, this is the first time we actually recorded a regular episode.
What do you mean?
In a long time.
Over a month.
Yeah, over a month. Like, but yeah,
we took our time, bro. We had to, you know, the promo went out and everything. Everyone's loving what we did. Again, we'll get to that. But what are you saying, man? How you feeling?
Good, man. Like, summer's coming to an end. You know, trying to soak up the last little bit of summer as we possibly can here. Doing a little bit of running around. Last weekend was at a cottage. This weekend got some of my friends in town. Sports starting back up, going to a Maple Leafs preseason game. Raptors coming in soon.
Yes, sir.
Raptors loading.
You got your season tickets coming up?
Yeah. Charge it to the Mad Mix corporate card.
Yes, sir.
So you'll probably see a hefty expense.
I'll ignore it. It's all good.
However, but all in all seriousness, all good. I feel like this year has really flown by, you know.
Do you really?
Yeah, definitely, man.
Ah, interesting.
I feel like there have been so many chapters of the year so far, right?
Yeah.
Like January was like COVID, everything was shut down through February, March I did a bit of traveling. Early summer has been like go time with like traveling and, you know, getting out of town.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, weddings, all that kind of stuff. It's been quite a whirlwind, and to be honest, I'm actually looking forward to things settling down so I can go in the hibernation mode in the winter. You feel me?
Money wise, 100%.
You know, like this summer's a bag.
But man, I feel like the year has kind of been kind of long in the best way.
Oh, sweet. Like, okay.
It felt like forever since I was in Europe, and it was only a couple months ago. Or it feels like forever since Caravana weekend, and that was last month for me at least, you know. And
totally.
I was in Mexico in February, and that felt like 2 years ago, man. I don't know
how long were you there for.
Only 4 days, but like
true.
Yeah, that was February. Feels like ancient, you know. Yeah. Time from now, but
it is kind of true when you put that in perspective, because like the beginning of the year versus where we're at right now, kind of closing out the year, is like very different.
What was going on then? Yeah, the whole pandemic shit was still very active.
Yeah,
you know,
totally different, man.
Yeah,
and which is kind of nice. Like, I feel like this is the first regular year, and it's nice to just talk about it for a sec. You know what I mean?
Regular year.
This is the first normal regular summer, let's call it, that we've had. And a couple, and it's just nice to feel like things are different. Things are normal again.
Bro, I don't even know where my masks are, bro.
Yeah, well, it's the craziest thing.
It would take me a while to find it. It's in my house somewhere, but it would take me a while.
When did you decide to, like, stop wearing them?
When they made it okay to not wear them anymore, pretty much. Like, I was wearing them on the TTC for a little bit, but then I kind of said fuck it before they said that you didn't have to wear it on the TTC, if I'm being honest. I'm just like,
Rule breaker,
you know? I'm just like, I'm good, man. Like,
911, I found him.
Yeah. It's so normalized now that, like, you know, if you get COVID, it is what it is. Like, you'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the vaccines, and like, that should do it to you, you know?
Yeah,
that should,
yeah.
That should work.
What about you?
Yeah, I mean, kind of the same old. Like, I can't lie, it was, like, weird when everything when it's
all at once
abruptly stopped. I was like, I don't really understand, like, why someone would feel comfortable not wearing this after doing it for so long. So, like,
yeah,
you know, I wore it indoors for a number of different like, I think over a month and a half or so, or a month, even in just some of the common areas of my building, or, you know, the grocery store.
I think I still had to in my building.
But now I don't even think about it. I don't even think about it to the point of, like, I went to the airport flying out to Halifax, like, a couple months ago, and I didn't bring a mask. I was like, oh, shit. I had to pay $10 at the airport.
To get one?
Yeah.
Because the airport is still, they're not playing around. But
yeah, definitely. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, I'm feeling, like, great. It feels good to be, like, back to normal. Like, I'm looking forward to fall, if I'm being honest. I think it'll be, like, a nice kind of transition into, like, you know, winter months. You know, it's nice that it's getting a little bit colder.
I'm not like ready, man.
Fall fashion.
Yeah. I know. I like the shorts, bro. Like, I want to I wanna hang on.
Yeah.
I want
to
hang on.
I say this now, but, like, when it starts to get fucking cold out, I'm not going to be into it.
I mean, Toronto, we complain about weather all the time, right? Like, we complain about it being too hot, being too cold, of that. So, that's just regular at this point, right?
Big time.
But, like, we got to talk about the biggest thing we've probably ever done.
The biggest thing we've ever done other than, like, launch it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Our 100th event happened 2 weeks ago.
100th episode event. 100th event.
Oh, shit, yeah. That would have been like
the first of 100. The first of 100.
100th episode podcast event. We did the live show. Then we had a bunch of our friends, family, supporters come through, and we turned up a bit for the rest of the night. I had an amazing time, man. I could not stop smiling. Everyone was in good spirits. I just love that people that didn't know each other were just naturally talking to each other.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to make any intros. Like, it was just happening.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's a future for this. Like, we can take this and, like, blow it up on a larger scale or, like, do it again, you know, because people left, like, taking each other's Instagram or taking each other's LinkedIn. Like, and I'm like, yo, stuff like that. What?
Yeah, man.
It was
amazing.
Yeah.
It was a lot of work to get there for sure. Yeah. But, like, to be honest,
worth it.
It was so worth it. It was just nice to do. One, it was, like, so different, like, doing it in front of a live audience, too.
Completely,
right?
Yeah.
Like, when you're... Normally, when we're doing these podcasts, like, we don't have any jokes planned or anything like that. Yeah, but, like, it's different when you're... Like, you know kind of what the punchlines would be if you were, like, listening to an episode.
Yeah,
but when you're, like, in front of a live audience, it's kind of like doing stand-up comedy. Like, you'd, like, say a couple of things and then, like, make a joke. And then, like, the crowd would react at your joke and, like, laugh. And I'm like, oh, this is so different than, like, you know, normally nobody laughs at my joke. So this is, you know, no, I'm just kidding. That would have been one of the punchlines.
Pretty much. Yeah, but you had a few of them in there. Yeah, you know?
A couple good ones. But what I loved the most about it was, to your point, like, it brought people together. And I think that we did a really great job of making sure that, you know, people felt welcome.
Yeah.
People felt okay to just do their own thing and chat and, you know, enjoy the episode, network. It was awesome, man.
Yeah, I was like, I remember when we sat down and you're like, well, this is different. And you're just like, I'm looking at everyone and I'm like, I'm kind of nervous. Like, I don't.
Yeah, like, the thing is, man, like,
they're just looking at you.
Yeah, we don't practice these episodes, right?
No.
You know, what we were saying when we, like, at the beginning of that episode was 100% facts. Like, we used to, like, rehearse, like, an opening and a closing.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd have topics with detailed information as to what's in there. But we've gotten pretty decent at this where we, like, don't actually need, we just need prompts. And then we just go.
Bullet points, nice. Yeah.
But that was the first time where I was like, oh, shit, I'm feeling a little bit like, you know, I can't screw up here.
No,
you know
100%,
I mean?
Yeah.
And we never have.
No,
right?
And I found myself just for, like, a comfort of, like, looking at the notes repeatedly, even though I didn't need them because we're just talking about whatever, but I just, like, kept looking at the notes again, like, hey, what are we talking about next? Just out of, like, to cure my, like, nervousness, you
totally,
know? But
totally.
I'm sure no one could really recognize that. But
it's a big part of public speaking, too, right?
You got to have...
And this was one of the most interesting things because, like, the only time that I've ever done public speaking was, like, either through, like, my classes in school
or work. Yeah.
I've never done a public speaking event kind of like this where I'm, like, in front of 100 people.
But, like,
you know, 30 to 40, 50 people.
Yeah. I think the only comparison would be when we did the cassette thing. But that was easier because you're in your own...
virtual.
You're virtual.
I had my notes on
the
side.
Exactly.
Like, yeah,
exactly. You're good.
Right, what are we going to talk shit about now?
Very different, yeah. I mean, I've done, like, the alumni panels at, like, Brain Station, but, again, I'm just talking about, like, my education background. Like, it's very...
Yeah.
You're not nervous about any of that stuff, right? But this one was just so open in terms of what we could talk about. Yeah. And you want to entertain. When you're on an alumni panel, you're not looking to entertain. You're just looking to, like, give your perspective, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, it's the first time I ever did something like this also. And I'm like, I want to do this shit again, bro. Yeah,
me like, too, man.
You know?
Like, and we, what's nice is that we learned a lot about, you know, the crowd and the energy.
Yeah,
and what
yeah.
that can do for, you know, a live event, something like that. You know, you can make jokes. You can, like, test things on the fly. You can see what people react to versus what people don't. And, you know, it was a lot of fun to, you know, to have our friends and family and supporters, listeners, everybody just kind of, like, listen to us. And even the people who weren't there, who, like, either donated or, you know, made some type of, like, commitment or contribution.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I got a lot definitely of stuff appreciated. From work, man. Like, I have to shout out my boss, Jess. Like, she really hooked it up with some stuff from work, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, prizing, the booze, all that kind of stuff. We had that through, like, my own connections, which is nice. And also shout out to, like, all the people who helped set things up and be a part of it.
You know? Tear it down, too. Yeah.
Tear it down. Like, you know, it just made such a difference. And, like, I think it's a testament to, you know, the people who we have in our corners to help us out and the people who, you know, want to support us and want to see us do well. You're, like, you know, Alyssa, right?
She's gonna shout make out the to event. Alyssa, shout out to Alyssa. Bro.
She's going to get a special shout out for the episode. But, you know, people like that really helped to organize us and make sure that, like, our focus could really just be on, you know, getting this event done and, you know, saying the right things versus always having to think about the things that we might not be. You know what I mean?
100%.
Shout out to Alyssa.
Yeah, man. I think the event was captured so well, too. Like, Jerome killed that shit. Marlon killed it with the audio.
Yep.
I love that it turned into, like, a photo shoot, which was so unplanned.
Yeah.
But, like, everyone loved that green couch and everyone was sitting on it and posting on their Instagram. And I'm like, that's promo for us. So, like, post all those pictures, you know?
And the studio, man. Like, the studio, the actual space itself was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a cool spot. There was, like, different areas that you could go in. There's, like, a lot of, like, vintage. Like, it was, like, styled really cool. So shout out to that place, man.
100%.
Junto or something?
Junto Studio, Shout out to Odie for suggesting it, because I remember I was telling him, I'm like, yo, we're trying to do this event, but, like, I don't know where to do it. He's like, yo, I saw this on TikTok. And then I'm like, that's perfect. Let's just do this shit. Let's do this shit. Like,
well, you know? Okay. So when we, at the end of that last episode, like, they talked a little bit about, like, what are, like, we had people asking us, like, what's next? What are our goals? And I think, you know, from my perspective, I'm curious to know yours. I think when we round out the year, like, our goal is now to, like, start engaging our networks again to, like, get people on these episodes. For this whole year, it's basically just been me and you.
Yeah, yeah.
So now it's time. Like, you're probably going to be hearing from a lot different people on the podcast. You know,
bro, we haven't done a guest since Akil.
Wow.
That was a long-ass time
ago. That was, what, November last year or something, right?
Maybe even before that. Wow. Yeah, it's been a long... I looked and I'm like, Akil was the last one.
That was a great episode.
Amazing episode.
Yeah, that was so cool, man.
Shot in Germany, you know? Continue, my bad. Yeah.
But what we want to do is we want to start bringing in guests and doing what we do best. We've seen the most success for all of our episodes when we have, like,
another
perspectives
person.
And guests and people who come on. Not to say that we don't do our thing, but I think that's, like, one...
It's something different that comes in,
something different,
you know?
A different element that comes in and someone to challenge us, which is nice. So that's what we got cooking up for, you know, what's next.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I can't wait. I even mentioned it at the event. I'm like, a lot of the people in this room, you're on our list for potential guests. And I'm not blowing smoke up anyone's. Like, 100%. Everyone that we invited, we'd love to have on the show at some point. You know, it's just scheduling. It's just about when we can make it happen.
Yeah,
but
man.
So many, I cannot stress enough, like, how diverse that crowd was, just in terms of skill set, too, in terms of industries and all that. It was just good to see. Like,
it was dope.
You got lawyers in that room. Yeah, you got fucking entrepreneurs. Yeah. We found out that we're entrepreneurs that night.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, in some way.
Shaq is like, what do you think you guys have been doing? I'm like, yo, oh, I don't know, man.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. We just chatting shit, you know?
We just, and show some fanny as well, man.
Yeah.
Big support of the pod.
So, yeah, I mean, that was probably one of my highlights of the year so far, to be honest. And I think Again, it's captured so well. Go on our Instagram. You can see all the photos. Go on our YouTube channel, the Mad Mix Podcast, and you can watch the full 40-minute live show.
Yes.
Shout out again to Jerome for capturing and all of his vision. But 100th episode, man. That was that. That was amazing.
Yes, sir.
Let's go. As we talk about summer kind of wrapping up, this is the last week
of
summer, officially.
Yeah. Last week.
Tomorrow might be the last day, actually, low-key.
It's going to start snowing tomorrow.
Yeah, probably. How do you feel about your summer so far? How do you feel?
Did you
do everything you wanted to do?
It's been great, man. It's been action-packed. Like, there's been so much stuff going on, so much, like, family time. Like, you know, the beginning of the summer was, like, my birthday, which is crazy.
Yeah, true.
You know, what you said at the beginning is kind of right. That feels like a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, you know, got out.
Your party, right?
Yeah, the house party.
Yeah, true.
You got me that stuff on my birthday day.
Yeah.
Like, got to do a lot of traveling. Like, went out east for a couple weeks for my buddy Ty's wedding. Best man in the wedding. It's the best wedding I've ever been to. Amazing.
The only wedding, or?
Oh, man, fuck you, bro.
No, I've only been to one.
I've been to several weddings.
All right.
Yeah, I'm a cool guy. I'm a popular guy.
I get invited.
Got to spend some time out east, see some family, spend a lot of time with friends. Went to New York, quick rip.
True,
to New York.
Fam went to New York.
NYC,
yeah.
Man, that was fun. We hadn't talked about that on the podcast.
Nah.
But a lot of shit has happened,
I guess, eh?
Yeah, man, that was a blast. Like, we were only there for, like, maybe like 48 hours.
Oh,
but it was really cool. Like, went to a baseball game, went to the museum, ate some dope food, kind of lived like a New Yorker for like 48 hours, which is a ton of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Why so short?
We just went for the weekend.
I guess so. Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. We went Friday and then flew back like Sunday afternoon.
Right.
But that was a lot of fun. Worked on my golf game. The golf game is like getting there, man.
Not out in New York.
But not in New York. But yeah, over the course of the summer, that was like probably like my big hobby this summer was just get on the course.
I read it.
Try and like learn how to play. We were talking a little bit about this like before, but I'd never really been into golf. I never really appreciated it. But as I've gotten older and like I can't organize myself to get like, you know, 20 guys or 10 guys or whatever ready to play basketball or hockey or any of that stuff. Like, I find it such a pain in the ass to, like, have to work on that. But golf has been really nice because it's, like, one, it taught me how to do something that I've never really done before.
Yeah, you start from scratch.
Yeah, I started from scratch. But then also, like, it's a great way to spend, you know, some time outdoors, an afternoon outdoors, which is amazing.
Yeah.
You know? So that, to me, I would say, like, those are some of my big memorable moments. But how about you?
We're going to do a golf event sponsored by the Mad Mix.
Yeah, sponsored by the Mad Mix. Yes, sir. Mad Mix charity golf tournament.
Yo, that'd be dope.
That'd be sick, man.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah, this summer has been probably, I was thinking about it the other day, this might be my favorite summer
best
ever.
Best summer ever?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be.
I know there's a bit of the recency bias and all that, but nah, man. Like, it's this one and then the 2019 summer.
2019 was goated, man. 2019 was
no
good.
COVID, none of that. Yeah. Raptors, amazing.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I think this one, this the one amount was of the memories.
Best. This was, like, probably the best summer I've had. And
I think so.
Probably close.
I think I can declare that.
I
just had the best fucking time, man. Like, I met, like, many great people. The friendships that I had, I've been able to, like, tighten even further.
Yeah.
You know, got a whole new squad out of the summer and everything.
Yeah, man.
Travel to places that I want to go back in 2020 that I wasn't able to go.
Big time.
Mad Mix event. Like, that came out of nowhere, too. Yeah. Birthday. My friends threw me a surprise birthday party. I never had one of those before. Yeah, man. The summer hit, bro. Like, I love this shit.
They hit different.
Yeah.
Man.
I love, like, my life.
what summers were like the best ones that you've had?
2019, obviously.
Okay.
2016.
Yeah, 2016. It's just 2016.
I don't know why it's such a meme.
I don't know why it's a meme.
For like everyone else, but you got like work, you got Controlla, you got one, you know, all those tracks coming out, and me and my boys are going out every weekend, vibing, having a great time. I started working at John Street that summer,
yep.
getting my dream job at the time.
Dream job.
We had to go through it. We had to go through it, you know? But being able to work core downtown and all that and, like, meeting so many dope people, yourself, Dan, all the homies.
Yeah, man.
2016 summer was great. What about you?
It's funny because, like, 2016, like, I was going through a really tough time. Like, work was really tough. I had some, like, shit going on in my personal life that was tough. But, like, I still remember it being, like, sick.
Yeah,
you know what
I mean? Yeah.
I was, like, it was still a vibe. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I have to say this summer, 2019 summer, 2016 summer, for some reason, like 2011 was like a dope summer for me. That was like probably one of the best, like.
What happened?
Well, I mean, it was like my first, like, it was like my second summer out of high school.
Okay. So
it was like my second summer in university.
Yeah.
And like, I just remember like having like meeting like this kind of new group of friends. We would like go into a routine. We'd see each other all the time, like go to the same bar every Thursday.
Yeah.
Like went to Montreal with like my buddy. Like,
I love that you remember that 2011. Yeah, I can't remember what I was 2011 doing.
2011 was like a big one for me. So like 2011, 2015 was underrated.
Yeah. You know, I was working at HSF and all that. Man. And yep.
I remember that'll all be that my too.
Fourth maybe.
Yeah, because I was in Ottawa and then that's when we moved in.
Yep.
Just kind of jokes.
Which is dope. 2020, no, sorry, not 2020. 2021 was actually decent. Not one of the best, but I mean, I think I had a good time last year.
Summer 2020, like as fucked as it sounds, like wasn't that bad.
That's what I was gonna say, but then I backtracked quickly. You
know, I kind of liked it.
I agree. I remember I went to Niagara Falls with my friends. We got this big house, 10 of us just chilling there for my birthday weekend. Like, we were all good though, and I had an amazing time, man. All the park hangs, like I rediscovered parks. Like what the fuck?
Yeah. Big time.
You know?
Green Goldwoods was like, goddamn.
Yeah, boy, I avoided that
many
one. But
that's fucking here right now.
Man, it's been good summers, 100%.
Good summers, man. Summer, it's hard to go bad with a summer, man.
You get good people, good vibes, you know what I mean? Like the one drawback I have in 2019 was that like I was broke as a joke.
Yeah.
But like, so it's a little different now that like I can fully enjoy myself without repercussion almost, you know? Yeah. Not saying I'm rich, but I mean, you know.
They say, "Oh, you rich."
Facts.
But
yeah, man, I like that. The ranking of the summers. I think we should do like a social post and ask people
which summer was the goat. Like the.
And I don't want to just hear 2016 because it's a meme, you know.
Yeah. But 2016 doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
You know.
Anyway, that is our summer recap as well as our 100th episode recap. Let's talk about the news.
Damn, man.
That shook the world, literally.
Yeah, man. Rest in peace to Queen, bro.
Queen Lizzie. She died at the age of 96, I think, last week?
Yeah.
I don't know what it's
been. I don't know what's okay. So the question that we have here, like this is like a, I think I already know the answer from your perspective on this.
I was not laughing at the queen dying.
We're not laughing at that shit, man. We're not laughing. Rest in peace. I was laughing at Lizzie.
Yeah.
Because like, what the fuck, dude? Anyway.
When we were in London, bro, we just kept saying Lizzie.
Yeah, like, shout out to Lizzie, man. And you were Lizzie. There. Like, you could have been like...
I could have met her, you know?
Could have met her, man.
It's all good.
You know?
Afterlife.
So there's been a lot of like talk about this, obviously in the news, obviously in like our everyday life. But like, when it comes down to it, the question on the table is like, how does this really affect us as Canadians? We did get that holiday on
federal
Monday,
holiday.
Or like federal holiday, but it's, so it's like basically anyone who doesn't work for the government, go kick rocks kind
of
thing.
Yeah. I want to mourn on the Monday.
Me too, bro.
I wasn't able to,
jokes aside, I'm curious to know your take here on like how this affects us as Canadians.
Yo, you know what I didn't know is that whenever there's a new person in power, they change all the money. Like, especially in the UK, you know, but that might translate as well to...
because they got to change the person.
To all to King Charles.
Oh, damn. So it really changes, like, you know, all the rappers who were like, I got so many dead faces in my pocket. You get a live face. I wonder if you're going to start hearing the UK rappers.
Like, yeah, pretty much. Central C, shout out. But I wonder if that's going to translate to, because she's on her $20 bill, but I'm sure they're going to try to make a bill of Charles at this point. So yeah. I don't know what.
How old is that guy?
78 or some shit.
All right, so he's probably blessed. He's probably like, I still got some.
He's got like 20 years in the tank, maybe.
20 years in the tank, man. If he outlasts.
Because the thing is, like, throughout our whole life, it's been Queen Elizabeth, right? Yeah. 96, right?
Yeah.
There's been very mixed opinions online. You know, you got folks that have been lining up. Bro, there have been people lining up for, like, a whole day just to, like, see the casket. No, not here, but, like, in London.
Oh,
you know,
I mean,
like,
it's different over there.
It is, but then also it isn't. Like, you have a whole younger group of people that have no attachment whatsoever to the Queen, and they're like, why are you guys doing this? You know, and again, that's kind of for them to deal with. I don't really
have a
full essay I want to do on this topic, but it is just kind of interesting that we saw that happen and kind of how the memes spread online. And I'm like, yo, no one's safe, bro.
Yeah, bro. I saw one where it's like, bro, did I just find out the Queen died through a meme? I'm like, oh man, probably fact.
People had that ready to go.
Yeah, ready to go. Like, the meme lords are like, all right. In all seriousness, though, like, my take on it, my unsolicited take on it, is that, like, obviously I know that this doesn't really impact my life. I'm, like, from a different generation. I never grew up with that being an important piece of
the monarchy.
My life.
Yeah.
But I know that it affected a lot of people, like my mom. For example, like, she grew up in, like, an English family, and, you know, they, like, were taught that the Queen is, like, kind of, like, the highest power, you know, within the English monarchy, which it is, and they were, like, they were taught a specific thing about, like, what that represents and what it means and all that, which I think is, like, legit. So I understand that, like, there's almost like two ways in. So, like, one, who people who were very involved in the monarchy, which, you know, those are probably like the people who followed all of the stories, kept up with it, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's other people, like my parents or like my mom, and probably other people from different generations, who, like, feel upset about the situation, not because they were, like, directly attached to it every single day, but more so, like, that was, like, a constant in their lives. That was, like, something that was, like, so consistent over the course of, you know, however many years.
Yeah, and back then you're probably only really getting the good side of the equation, right? Like, you're only seeing the Queen as this, like, you know, statuous figure of, like, hope maybe in society and all of that, and you're, like, looking up towards her because you're seeing that on TV and in newspaper ads, right? But now I think I've never seen so much conversation about the monarchy since the last maybe 10 years of, like, breaking down how bad of a situation it is, you know, and, like, what they're responsible for. I couldn't say that I had that knowledge in high school even.
Yeah.
But I've seen it more online of people breaking down what they actually represent and what they've caused in terms of destruction to so many different countries.
Totally.
And, you know, and I think that's only coming, not that it's only coming out now, but it's more available now.
Yeah, totally. That
you can't be blind to the idea of what the monarchy represents.
What it represents, no. It's like upset at the person. Like, you know, at the end of the day, you never want to wish death on another human being, right? No. So it's like, rest in peace. I know that, like, from what I've heard, that she was a respectable person. She was a nice person. I think she cared for people. But, like, you have to separate the individual from...
You're part of a system.
Representation, right?
So you're also at fault. You're part of, you know what I mean? But it's a larger thing than just this one woman.
Totally. 1,000%. Right? Yeah. And it's a much bigger, like, it's a separation of, you know, the actual individual from what the monarchy actually is. But you can't necessarily decouple those.
No. And I mean, we won't talk about the monarchy for the rest of the podcast, right?
Yeah, but I mean, again. Unless one of us becomes king.
then we're like, actually, the monarchy is kind of dope.
It's pretty sick. Yeah, man. It's like, free bands for all my
born
friends.
Into a dope family. Anyway, let's move on from that. Let's talk about Toronto a bit.
Let's go. Yeah. I feel like we don't really. I'm going to say, like, we don't really talk about, like, the specifics of Toronto, like, what we're about to get into here.
Yeah, yeah. So Ossington Street, was named the 14th coolest street in the world. It's an article that came out ranking like 33 of the coolest streets in the world. I don't really know how they go about it based on like surveys and all that of like how people would rank certain cities, certain streets in their city, and what's available on that street in terms of like key restaurants that many people go to or like key music events and all of that, whatever they want to determine it. But this happened maybe a month ago, and it's funny because you get one side of the internet that's like, or one side of Toronto Twitter that's like, yeah, that's justified. The other side that probably lives near Ossington is like, what the hell? Like, have they even been anywhere in Toronto? And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know. Ossington's a pretty cool street.
I think Ossington is pretty dope.
But like 14th in the world? I don't know.
Yeah,
but
it's like, I wonder what the other 14 are.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, is it in the world or is it North America?
In the world, man. Like, number one is Montreal, is Wellington Street in Montreal. The number two is in Melbourne. So, like, it's all over the place. They have Copenhagen, Glasgow is number three, like certain streets in that.
These are all white dominated cities.
they have somewhere in Ghana, number like 16, yeah, I think. They, but
something seems awfully fishy. It sounds like some like blog Zio white girl was like, oh, I've been
to this place.
I've been to Australia, I've been to Montreal, I've been to Ossington.
Yeah.
You know, no disrespect, respectfully to whoever put these things together. I'm sure it was done with some scientific methodology got us to this point. But I genuinely speaking, I really like Ossington.
It's dope, yeah. They said specifically, like, between Queen and, like, Dundas is what they're highlighting, which is the best part.
I imagine that. The best part of Ossington is between
Bloor and Ossington,
Dundas and college.
There's
a school and some houses. No, but it all
what does this do for the city, you think?
Yeah, like, I mean, I think it's got some, like, really great restaurants. It got some of my favorite restaurants.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Golden Turtle.
I've never
been
there.
The Fall Place.
Yeah.
It's fire.
I have been there. It's
legit. I actually showed it to Alyssa. Alyssa, if you're listening to this, I saw you outside there that one time, and it was really awkward because I didn't know it was you, and I felt bad about it. It was a public apology.
It's all good.
And then Super Point Pizza, obviously, is like goated. Yeah. Love Super Point. Mamaka's Tavern is fire.
True.
The Greek place. That Poppy Chulo's place is all right. That's really dope.
So Jerome lives there too.
Jerome lives there. That's probably the number one qualifier.
The home of Jerome Chang.
Pretty cool guy.
Yeah. But no, I love to see that. Again, you know, I don't really know what that's based on, and like, it's very weird to argue between 13, 14, and fit like what place it should be in. But I think it's dope for Toronto to even be on there.
1,000%.
You know, so worldwide. Like,
yeah, totally. For a city that seemingly has like no real identity or culture.
Yeah.
Like if they said King Street, we would have had a very different perspective. I live on King Street as well,
that's by true.
The
way,
but I live in the different part of King Street.
He's trying to separate himself from the rest.
I don't. Yeah. I
don't give your location. You feel me?
I make King Street. King Street doesn't make me.
Yeah, I feel you. But yeah, that's cool to see. Either way, you know, Ossington is where it's at when it comes to the summer as well. Just like all the different kind of day party events they have over there.
Yeah, man.
It's a great vibe.
If you are in Toronto and let us know what your favorite street is or what your favorite neighborhood is, and we'll shout that out in the next episode.
Queen Street.
Liberty Village. Stop.
With that, though, something also came to Toronto was the Michelin Guide. I don't even know how to explain Michelin Guide. I guess it's like
it's a ranking system of like restaurants around the world. So it's like a consistent ranking.
Michelin stars.
Yeah, hierarchy of restaurants around the world. So, for example, like if you have a 3-star Michelin restaurant, it is like a number, like in probably in the top, you know, 20 restaurants in the world.
In the world, yeah.
You know, a 1-star Michelin restaurant is
really great.
Will be a amazing 5-star experience for sure.
Yeah. And Toronto has 13 new restaurants added to that guide for the first time.
That's sick.
Which is like, and I went through the list and I'm like, I don't know any of these spots.
Queen of Spadina McDonald's.
Yeah. Papi Chulo's on Austin. Yeah, yeah, of course. Queen Street Warehouse.
Warehouse.
Oh, man. Have you been? Did you look at the list, or have you been any of them?
No, I'm gonna pull it open right now.
Why not?
A live look, but probably not.
They're mad expensive. I've heard maybe of a couple, but it just kind of reminded me how little I know about my own city because I couldn't tell you where a lot of these places are. I'm sure they're amazing fine dining experiences, but I also don't really gravitate towards that. You know.
You know, I think fine dining is like really cool.
As a yeah, sure.
But it's
I know, yeah. It's just
I don't even know what that is.
But you get to a stage where it's like the more expensive the plate is, the less they have on it, and it's all just really about the presentation. Yeah. But I'm trying to eat.
Yeah,
it's a different appreciation.
Sure. If you're trying to eat crush.
Yeah, you don't
probably
go there.
Not the best. You probably don't want to go to a Michelin star restaurant. But
no.
If you haven't seen friends that you are seeing in 5 years, and you want to go somewhere really cool and give a really awesome experience.
Yeah,
that's what I really appreciate in food.
Okay.
And restaurants and stuff. I'm not going to any of these fancy places, but on the occasion, Jill and I will go somewhere
a date cool. night. I get you.
You know.
Yeah.
It's very expensive, but I appreciate food that way because I'm not definitely none of this stuff I can make.
No.
So it's I'm trying something that is totally unique to my palate and different that I could find really, really interesting. Right.
Yeah, I think it's the appreciation of the creativity behind
and
it.
The craft,
The craft. What could this? Yeah, it's art. At that point, it's what can this chef put together to really impress me? Not so much I'm going to leave here and be full or try to recreate this dish, but it's let me go here almost like a exhibit, like an art exhibit,
yeah.
And let me appreciate what they've put on the plate for $300.
Yeah, for $300.
goddamn. But
a lot of these places on this list are Japanese restaurants.
Or I've noticed that.
And I'm Japanese food is quite elegant, so.
And its presentation,
its presentation, so I can see why. And it's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I totally get why. But that's really cool. I'm going to definitely look at and try out some of these restaurants.
I'm going to find the cheapest one, and then I'm going to go to that one.
Yeah, yeah. Big time.
100%. But let's move on here. What do we got next?
Oh, man. Yeah, we don't need to spend too long on this one, but this one was kind of jokes. You and I were kind of chatting through this on TikTok.
Yeah, yeah.
So Anthony Fantano. So I don't even really know who this guy is.
He's a music reviewer.
He's a music reviewer, music critic kind of guy.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. Very popular on YouTube.
Yeah, very, very popular guy. Has released I don't know, a video of Drake roasting him or talking shit about him on Instagram. Drake DMs this guy because he gave poor reviews to all of his albums essentially in the
pretty
past.
Much, yeah.
And now it's this live beef thing and Drake's pissed and DMing this guy. When I'm one, I think that's soft as fuck.
For Drake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't be doing that, you know? And I think it's pretty jokes that in my opinion, that he's reacting that way because I don't disagree with this guy. You and I talked about it on TikTok.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, most of Drake's albums after Views, and Views was a strong 7 out of 10 for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say Views.
Higher than Anthony would probably rate it.
Yeah, I'd say, for me personally, I like Drake too.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's 7 out of 10 is what I would give Views. But because that's a pop commercial album. Yeah,
Controller, One Dance.
Actually, I'll give it a 7.5. I'll give it a 7.5.
Okay. Because
of Controller.
Yeah. One Dance, Controller,
One Dance,
Too Good.
Controller.
Oh, man.
All those
was a good album.
That was a good album.
The thing is, so musicians are emotional. They're sensitive. This is their art, whether you want to agree with the art or not. Drake has been doing this for 15 years at this point, putting out albums, and every single one has been reviewed very poorly about this from this guy. So, and this guy gets millions of views. He's probably the biggest music reviewer on YouTube.
Right.
So it's impossible for you as an artist to not hear of his rating, to be honest, So, and Drake is very sensitive too. So, like, I could see him Drake just like
KD. He's the Kevin Durant.
100%. Him and his burner accounts, just like.
Yeah.
So I get it, but I don't think you should have DM'd him saying your existence in life is a one. A light one, because you're alive and you've been able to be with a black girl. I'm like, what?
Stop this.
I just don't even get that.
Like, you're not wrong, because like your last three albums have been dog shit.
Yeah.
Like, CLB was bad. Whatever the one that came out this year sucked.
Honestly, never mind. Yeah.
Honestly, never mind, because it is trash. And if Drake, if you DM us, you can go leave on this. You can leave the Broil Kings chat, or you can message us in the Broil Kings.
Yeah, we got him in the group chat. Yeah. If he DMs us, we're definitely posting that on a TikTok and a reel, and taking all the views we can get from it.
Hundo.
But yeah, I mean, we're always gonna review the Drake albums until.
Of course.
You got to, you know. Toronto, we got to highlight. He is the biggest rapper in the world, pretty much. So it requires a conversation. But, yeah, I mean, don't DM a music reviewer. Nothing's going to come from that.
It's an L.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Our last topic of the day here. We had to highlight this. This was kind of cool. Patagonia. This was in the news last week. But essentially, like, the CEO or like the president owner of the company essentially has transferred the ownership and the revenue that they're making from the company into like an account to help has been transferred to a trust created to protect the firm's values as well as a nonprofit organization. So essentially what the story is that they are using the profits from the organization and just putting them back into, like, you know, the earth, let's call it. They say earth is our only shareholder.
Yeah, I like that. I like that headline, at least, to promote it.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of marketing.
Yeah, it was interesting because I saw it on Instagram with the headlines of, like, whatever his name is as a CEO has given up his company to the earth or to... environmental,
something like that.
Sustainability practices and all of that. And I'm just like, probably not. Let me like dive deeper into this, because you're a billionaire. Why would you do that? You know?
Yeah, and you have a supply chain, so it's like,
yeah,
you know that you need to make money.
100%. And what I like as I kind of read more about it, I'm still not super educated on it, but just the idea he was talking about, like, I was never in this business, whether it's true or not. He was saying, I was never in this business to, like, be a billionaire, really, you know, to, like, reach that kind of level of success. But it kept happening, and we had to, like, feed the beast, right? You have all of these employees that you have to continue to pay for, so then you're striving for profit so that you can continue to, like, oil this machine. And
It's still going to be a company.
100%. You know what I mean? 100%.
But it's still kind of cool knowing that, like, that's something that they've stuck to their entire... in the entirety of the business, which is like, I think it started in 1973, so like 40 years ago or something.
Yeah, like they would try to always give like a small percentage of profit, or like for every vest sold or whatever, they would donate certain amounts to, and he was saying like, we've been doing that, but it's just not enough. Like I need to put more money into this. I wonder from you, do you think any other company would follow suit? Any other CEO? Well,
hopefully.
Elon Musk?
Yeah, no, definitely not. I think it's there's an authentic part to this, which like that's always been in the company's values, which I appreciate. It's not just like, oh yeah, now we're just doing this thing. Like a lot of people like me can look at this and be like, oh, it's marketing. And to some degree it is.
Yeah.
But there's still very much a real authentic aspect to this, which, you know, I appreciate 100%.
Yeah, I mean, they will sell more items because of this.
Totally.
But like it's two things can be true, right? Like you can be doing this authentically and you can be trying to sell more items. So yeah, I like that we at least, you know, had a nod to this. We'll have our Patagonia vests on next episode.
Yeah. Show this episode is sponsored by
the world. By the world.
By the world. Yeah. By the earth.
From us to the earth. That is episode 18.
Man, episode 18. Episode 101.
There you go. I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
There we go. We out here.
Thanks so much for listening. Shout out to everyone who helped us for the 100th episode. Can't wait for the 100 more episodes to come out.
Let's get it.
This is the first one in our journey to do that. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Have a good evening or day, whatever time you're listening to this.
Peace.